Tim Flannery joins us on Sports Byline, third base coach for the San Francisco Giants. He played 11 seasons for the San Diego Padres, and he coached for the Padres as well, did some broadcasting for them. But he also is a fine musician who has recorded 10 albums, and he recently finished his Restless Kind tour, which raised $75,000 for the Brian Stowe Fund, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. You know, you've had an interesting mix in your life, Tim, music as well as baseball. Let's talk about the baseball aspect of it. Take me back to the early beginnings of Tim Flannery in baseball.
Well, there's actually our family. You can't separate them. It's like, do you want to have water or air? My uncle, as Hal Smith of the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1960, hit the big home run in Game 7 to put them ahead, and then Mazeroski, when it was tied, got the big one in Game 7, so you know a lot about that. But he was a musician as well. Everybody in my family plays and sings, and everybody in from my mother's side is the baseball side. Both my uncles played professional ball, so I grew up with it ever since I was on the planet. We didn't know there was anything more than baseball and music, and I've been fortunate enough to do both for a long, long time.
I know that your dad, you've described him as a hillbilly minister, and yeah. I found that interesting. Explain that a little bit further.
Well, he came out of the back mountains of Kentucky, and I'm talking way up. I'm talking Owsley County, Boonville. It's about 3 hours up the mountain of Lexington. And in 1948, he came out of the mountains and became a Christian minister, had huge congregations because he had both oars in the water, as we like to say. You know, and from the pulpit, he'd use hillbilly haikus to metaphorically speak to the people that were there, and he connected with them. He was a man of passion. He was a man of compassion. He spoke the scripture and lived the scripture. And we were in Southern California at the time, where the last 25 years of his ministry was, we were raised with the Everly Brothers, the Leuven Brothers, but yet I had the Southern California influence of the Flying Burrito Brothers, which was that California Americosmic music. So we had a whole gumbo of things going on in our house, but the main thing was our spirituality, and my father and the discipline of the way he lived influenced us all greatly, not only as spiritual people, but also in what we do in life and how we're trying so hard to live it.
Tim, I had a musical family as well, and I was very, very young, but I have a vivid memory of Sunday afternoons and jam sessions in the living room of our house in Alexandria, Virginia, and there were musicians of every sort that would come over. Was it that way with you and your family as well?
It still is. If you were over here on Thanksgiving, it's like a four-hour set with dinner in between somewhere, you know. And we open up our homes to a lot of the musicians in the area who might not live here and don't have family here, but they're making a living musically here. So they'll come by, and the off-season at our house is full of song and laughter and a lot of fun. And then once baseball season starts, it's still full of a lot of folks, though I'm not a part of it. I'm all out on the road playing and coaching with the Giants. So, you know, the other people kind of take over. All the children and all their friends kind of take over the house. But it's a great place to know that they're all here together.
Your grandmother would sit on the front porch and play bluegrass on the banjo. Your brother Tom would sing with you from the first thing in the morning. And you guys would sing on Sunday at your father's church. Your sister would play the banjo as well. Am I leaving anybody out in this?
Well, yeah, there's a whole couple other generations that showed up. You know, my older brother, he plays, and then now all of his sons are singer-songwriters, traveling musicians. They've got CDs out. So, and when I went back to Ireland, I had a record release in Ireland. Everybody over there as well played. So it was in our DNA, and I believe that the baseball part of it was also, you know, I from the day I can remember, I had a love. I thought the national anthem was the baseball song. I mean, that's how we had to get through that, you know. I mean, that's, I was raised since I was a baby listening to the ball games, and the national anthem always was at the beginning of the game, and it took me a while till I had to understand that was a national anthem. You know, I just figured it was part of the game itself. So you know, I don't know how to explain my life in a 5 minute, 10 minute, half hour interview. It's been a road. It's been a journey, and there's still a lot more ahead of us.
And that Irish ballad, as I understand it, is called Molly Graham, and it's one that all DJs love over in Ireland. Tell everybody why they love it.
Well, the joke is because it's an 11-minute song, because they can go have a restroom break or a cigarette break. That, you know, that's my buddies like to say that. But it sounds like a traditional song, and it's one of our songs when we play shows. We have Irish dancers, and the fans really seem to like it.
One of the things that I know in talking to my friends like Joe Morgan and others that have played the game of baseball with great distinction is the fact that balance is so important. Joe once told me that, you know, the day you go four for four, you better remember the day you went 0-for-4. Am I assuming correctly, Tim, that the music gave you the balance? Because you were not an outstanding player. In 11 seasons, you had a career batting average of .255 and just 9 home runs. So did this bring you the satisfaction and the balance you needed to get through day to day?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I didn't think I had to make a choice, and I never woke up one morning and said, I'm 0-for-4, I'm going to play a guitar. This was just something that happened in our lives. We all played music. We were musicians from day one, and, you know, I lasted 10 years as a major leaguer hitting those 9 home runs, so I think I survived pretty good, and this is my 33rd year in professional ball, 26th in the major leagues, and I got 2 World Series rings and been to the World Series 4 times, so there's something to say for sustainability and persistence and resolve, and if the music had something to do with that, well, I'm going to continue it.
You certainly have worked with a lot of great musicians, including Bob Weir, and I know when I talk to great athletes, I like to ask them the question of what is the commonality that the great athlete has. Let me turn that a little bit, Tim. What is the commonality that great musicians all have?
Well, I'll tell you what you just mentioned, and I just mentioned with Bob Weir. He has taught me sustainability. He has taught me to do it every single night. Now, he's 10 years older than I am. He's 65 years old. I'm 55. And when I look at the schedule of 162 games in 180 days, I sometimes get a little going, wow, it's not getting any easier. But I've watched these guys, Phil Lesh, who's 70 years old. These guys play night after night after night, 4-hour shows, 5-hour shows. They're still selling out huge arenas. And they have a great responsibility to be prepared, to be in shape, to be able to do these shows. And it's not like they just do 20 shows or 30 shows. They play almost every night of the year. I've watched them. I've been a part of it. And to watch that has inspired me to continue on to, when you get a little tired, to understand that, hey, you know, maybe you have to do that to stay young. I don't know. Maybe you have to keep moving, but there's a lot of similarities with musicians and great ball players, but there's also a lot of differences of the two of the music and the game, and that's what I love too. I love to be able to separate it because I keep them totally separate. I mean, this probably will be the last music interview I'll do. Once the season starts, I'm all baseball. That's basically all that we're talking about and all that we're involved in. But then when the off season comes, it's, you know, I have other things that interest me as well, and they don't take away from the game.
I read a story in which they talked about the fact that the best acoustics when it comes to playing the guitar and singing are in the stairwells of hotels. And I thought about
it. It really is true. It's and it's also a place you can play without driving your neighbors next door crazy. You know, it's an acoustical. Almost like an opera house, straight up and straight down. So it's a nice place to hide out after games when you just need to have a little quiet and breathe, because you can only go back and rehash the game so much. I mean, we're not like football. When you play football, you play once a week. That's all you're talking about. They're still talking about some of the plays that should have been made or could have been made 4 days, 5 days later. Well, in our sport, you're playing the next night. You have to continually have the short-term memory and move on to the next moment. And the stairwell is a great place after a ball game around midnight to pick a little guitar, just have a glass of wine, relax a little bit to prepare yourself for the next day.
We only have a minute before we have to break here, Tim, but I'm just wondering the satisfaction that you feel after a baseball game, win or lose, and the satisfaction and the sense that you have after you play a concert. Similarities, differences?
Yeah, it's totally different. It's hard to explain. I mean, there's some similarities when you do something well, because it's a team. We just played five straight nights where we sold out Redwood City, the Fox Theater, Uptown Theater in Napa, Sweetwater. I mean, there was a challenge just to see if we could do it five straight nights, because that's not easy as well. But there's nothing like winning. There's nothing like playing ball. There's nothing like coaching. There's nothing like winning a world championship. It's why I keep both of them. It's why I keep both of them separate.
We'll talk about baseball and those championships with Tim Flannery, the third base coach for the San Francisco Giants, as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.